and in the prophets and the psalms concerning me. And Jesus made the people like Malachi, Hosea, Joel, Amos, and David. He made things like the psalms. That they could be lived by. They could be sung with knowledge that they were true. They were singing the truth when they sang those songs. Did Jesus believe in these people? You know, when we find ourselves in life, we find that sometimes when we're close to philosophers and a lot of college and school programs and denying things that are active, they'll become critical of things of David's life and things of Moses' life, things of Noah's life. Without thinking, you and I have to, we get the opportunity to say a few words in regard to that matter. We don't have to say much when we say, what did Jesus think about David? What did he think about Noah? What did Jesus think about Moses? And we quickly come back to say, you know, I think the world would be better. I think every individual would be better. Every marriage would be better. Every neighborhood would be better. Every community guidance of things would be better if Jesus' principles were practiced. Our founding fathers thought that would be the way as they set up this republic. They felt like that the Judeo-Christian ethics, as we call them, the teaching, the guidance, the way to live, the way to make laws, the way to live, the way to put people in jail if they need to be put in jail, are on the basis of these laws. Not foolish things, but faithful things, helpful things. We live in a time when a lot of that has changed by man's own standards. When someone's critical of the Lord and critical of his way, not very many times Jesus is criticized. But the things about Moses, the thing about Noah, the things about David, they'll be criticized sometimes. But when they are, asking them, what did Jesus think about him? May make all the difference in them coming back to, well, what did the Lord think about me? Is this the way to believe? Is this the way to practice? It sure is a better way to go. I sure thank you for your studies with us, and the importance of these studies to our young and older life are such nature to say that when we talk about this, we're talking about the joy that we have in Jesus because of the love that he had for others. When Jesus talked about this plan of salvation, he taught a great way. He said, you need to believe that I am he in John 8, verse 24. He said, you need to repent of your sins or you'll perish in Luke 13 and verse 5. He said, verses 3 and 5. He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven, Matthew 10 and verse 32. And then before he left this earth, he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 and 15 and 16, it's important to follow what the Lord has said. He told those that will be saved from sin to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation, Matthew 26 and 41. And to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, John 4 verse 24. When the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 11, didn't worship the Lord in truth about the Lord's Supper, they were corrected. When they didn't worship the Lord in truth in regard to the way that they prayed and sang and preached in 1 Corinthians 14, they were summarily corrected. And there was a great need coming up. And Paul used that to speak to them in 1 Corinthians 16 about their contribution on the first day of the week. He said, lay by in stores, God has prospered you, that there be no gatherings when I come. It would not be to their honor if they just lazed around and waited and waited, and finally Paul arrived and they didn't have things together, when they could have had things together in a very fair and efficient way by the first day of the week, giving as they've been prospered. That's what he told them, in order to
to the churches of Galatia and also to you today. That's the way that we can begin to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we found out in our study that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, that when we sin, when we mess up, we know we are, and we know our weaknesses are there. Instead of saying, I can't live it, I'm not going to be baptized into Christ because I can't live it, I can't do it all the time, we can do this as we live, as he's told us in 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, we can live that way and from day to day say, Lord, I'm truly sorry about my weaknesses. I'm truly sorry about my sins. I'm truly hopeful that I'll not repeat this. And go about day to day. You'll find greater strength. And as you go through your days, I have met brethren through the years begin to pray that way and do that. There's faithful brethren. And I have met them to say, be said, you know, I didn't believe it would happen like this. I didn't believe I wouldn't have a desire to say these things, do these things, behave this way. But the time came in my life when that happened. I don't know where it's gone, but I'm glad it is gone. My temptation and trial that so belabored me for years, when I began to pray that way daily, they began to be less and less effective in my heart and life. That's the way to live and do. And I trust that we'll live that way. And those of you who hear these words by way of the internet, I trust that you made that decision to come into Christ, begin living for him, worshiping him as you should, living for him as you ought. And when you don't, repent and pray that the Lord will forgive you. He will, and you can live for him from day to day. As these folks are invited today, won't you come to Jesus as we stand together and as we sing.